You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We hope you like football because that's what we're talking about for the next 60 minutes. We're talking college football. We're talking NFL football from a betting perspective, from a fantasy perspective, from a DFS perspective. Steve Merrill steps up and in and joins us. We'll talk about tonight's triple header. Three college football games on the board. One of them's okay. The other two of them suck. But what difference does it make? It's not like the National Football League games don't suck either. Steve Merrill will join us. We're talking football, a little NASCAR as the playoffs are set to begin. NASCAR chase for the cup. Paul Bovey will join us from Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk some NFL football with Paul Bovey from a betting perspective. Chris Meany joins me in studio. We'll talk NFL football from a DraftKings perspective, little fantasy talk. And, of course, we'll get Chris Meany's picks of the week. We'll see who Meany is taking this week. I'll give you my picks for week two of the National Football League on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page. We're going to talk NFL football on Morenci Unfiltered tonight with Cam Stewart, 10 o'clock Eastern. Cam Stewart and Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, join me on Morenci Unfiltered. A bunch of NFL picks, but my official pick video will be up on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, and hopefully I can do better this week than I did last week. Week two of the National Football League rapidly approaching. There's a baseball on the board. I looked at the games tonight. Really don't want to force anything. Didn't really see anything that I really liked all that much. I want to take the Baltimore Orioles tonight. They're massive underdogs against the New York Yankees. That line made me do a second take, but I don't know, man. Severino's been on fire. They've won like 10 of his last 12 starts or something like that. I don't want to get in the way of that. And the Bombers look like they're heating up. Speaking of the Bombers aren't playing tonight, but other CFL teams are playing tonight. We got the Bronx Bombers and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Tonight we got the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And if you're wondering, aren't there two teams named the Rough Riders? No, not anymore. The other guys, now they're called the Red Blacks. What's a Red Black? I'm not sure. What's a Rough Rider? I don't know. What I do know is I like the Tiger Cats, plus the points this evening. So we got some CFL picks for you a little bit later on tonight as well. So week two of the National Football League started off pretty much the way that week one went. It was crap, a garbage dumpster fire. And you know it's bad. You know things are real bad when Mike Florio, all right, pro football talk, Mike Florio essentially works for the NFL. The guy's on NBC. He's on the broadcast. Pro Football Talk is essentially like an official NFL website. You know what's bad when Mike Florio was tweeting out during the game last night that college football is more entertaining than pro football is? We got a problem when Mike freaking Florio. When I saw that, I'm like, no, that can't be. That can't be. Well, you know what? He's right. I know. We don't have a large sample size to work from so far in the National Football League this year, but let's look back to last year as well. The game sucked. They were boring. Everybody blamed Colin Kaepernick for the ratings. It's not Colin Kaepernick's fault, all right? It's the product. And I don't know, is it Roger Goodell? We'll get to that in a second. But the actual product of the National Football League is the most overrated thing in America besides, like, Apple products. Like, what does the NFL do? I don't know. There's a bunch of beer commercials. You got a bunch of, Chris Collinsworth. Gee, shucks. Oh, God, you know. You know, Collinsworth, last night he called the game old school. I don't know, does old school mean crap? Come on, dude. They're selling us crap. All right, we played 16 games so far this year in the National Football League. How many of them have been good out of the 16 games? Out of all the games this year, what was the best game? What, the Bears and the Falcons? I watched that game. It sucked, okay? There are a couple of plays here, and ooh, the Bears hung around. Oh, yeah, that's great. That's worth $8 billion a year, whatever they get. No, really, what game was good last week? What game was good? The Vikings game against the Saints? That game was a pile of garbage in the first half. You know, all right, there's a fight. It's to the point now where if a quarterback throws it, we're like, oh, my God, wow, what a play. Last night, Deshaun Watson, one play, won a game. One play wins a game now. That's how bad this crap is. And, you know, they talk about ratings being down. Oh, and ratings are down because Colin Kaepernick took a knee and he hates America. Ratings are down because ESPN, a bunch of liberal pinko commies, liberal bias. No, the ratings are down because the product is down. But what I don't understand is why the National Football League doesn't get it. You know, Roger Goodell makes $44 freaking million a year. All right, so who's on TV next Thursday night? Take a guess. Who's playing next week on national television? The Rams and the 49ers. On primetime national television. Oh, yeah, but it's Colin Kaepernick's fault the ratings are down. Like, seriously, for a league that's supposed to be on the cutting edge and, you know, the leaders, why the hell do you put piece-of-crap teams on national television all the time? Like, you know, at some point, figure it out and start treating the Thursday night games like you do the Sunday night games, all right? Because otherwise, people don't care. You know, the NFL is so arrogant, they think, oh, we'll just put it on TV and people will watch. Well, not anymore, they're not. And what if they watch, you're just hating your product and it's just leaving a negative impression surrounding your freaking brand. It's amazing to me. You know, it's like they give NBC all these great games on Sunday night. They screw over ESPN on Mondays, and the Thursdays are a freaking joke. The Boise State-New Mexico game was more entertaining than the National Football League game was last night. You know, you look at the NBA, they have their primetime games. You don't see the Brooklyn Nets on primetime on TNT on Thursdays, do you? No. You see the same teams over and over, and people like it that way. Don't tell me, well, you want variety. No. Give me, you know, why the hell is it a big-time football game? The New England Patriots are playing against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. You know, figure it out. Put prime-time, big-time players on prime-time television and stop blaming Colin Kaepernick, ESPN, and everybody else for your crap-ass ratings. It's your fault. Game Time Decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Renz. We've got a great show lined up for you. Paul Bovey will join us in a couple of moments. Normally, he lives in Los Angeles, also Florida, but he lives in Los Angeles for the most part. And he's in Vegas, though, I believe, this afternoon. So Paul Bovey will join us from Vegas. Chris Meany will join me in studio. Steve Merrill will join us from Virginia in a second. But if you're planning on laying it down this weekend, and I know you are, check out www.mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. Get a 100% sign-up and deposit bonus. Use promo code GTD at mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag. Check it out, guys. You're going to be laying it down. You can never have too many sportsbook accounts. Like Steve Merrill knows that. What's going on, Steve?
Lines are sharper than they've ever been. You know, so those half points definitely make a difference. Shop around.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed as well this year, there has been a little bit of variety. Like, case in point, the Rams and the Redskins game. I'm seeing 2.5s, and I'm also seeing 3s out there.
Yeah, what a tremendous difference that makes. It's the most key number in all of sports. In fact, NFL favorites win by exactly 3 almost 10% of the time. So the difference between 2.5 and 3, no matter which side you're on in that game, it gives you about a 10% better chance of maybe winning than not losing or pushing and not losing. So it's a tremendous difference.
All right, so before we get to that game and the National Football League, we'll talk some college football, NFL football, a little NASCAR. We'll jump right in. We've got 3 games, and it's rare that we have glamorous games. Once in a while, they throw us a bone on Friday, Steve, to break down, but it is what it is. Illinois at USF. Listen, I was high on South Florida coming into the year. I told people I think this team could run the table. I told people I think Quentin Flowers, he won't win the Heisman, but he can put up big numbers and potentially get invited to New York at least for the ceremony. You know, they didn't get the cover. They got backdoored against San Jose State, but they didn't look great. And then a very, very flat performance against Stony Brook, of all teams. Only put up 31 points. Now they're laying 17 to a Big Ten team as Lovie Smith goes back to the same stadium that he used to coach the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and you, of course, have to worry about any of these Florida teams this week. You know, it's an angle that's applying to many games after Irma hit, you know, the entire state last week or earlier this week. You just don't know what kind of distractions it's been for these Florida schools, especially when you have a team like South Florida that's now laying 15 points, laying more than two touchdowns. I still think this is a very good South Florida team. I don't read too much into that Stony Brook game. I think it was just a flat spot. It does concern me, though, that they gave up 22 points to San Jose State. They did give up 17 to Stony Brook, an FCS team from the CAA, a mediocre FCS team. So the defense looks a little suspect right now, and I think Illinois can probably take advantage, although the Illini, nothing special on offense this year, just 24 and 20 points so far. A tough call here. You know, it's just as tough to know exactly the South Florida mindset. I think if they're focused here, they probably get the cover.
Yeah, you look at Illinois, their defense is what's been carrying them. But a nice win against Western Kentucky. I just look at the pedigree here. Illinois 4-0 against the spread when getting double-digit points versus non-conference opponents. South Florida never beaten a Big Ten team before. They're 0-5 straight up. And Big Ten teams, 23-5 straight up all time versus the American Athletic. We're getting a Big Ten team getting 17 points, a pretty hardy defense, a former NFL coach. There's a lot to like here. There's no doubt South Florida more talented and potentially could blow them out. My only concern, I'm taking Illinois, but my concern is just that Illinois offense, if we fall behind too far, can they backdoor this? Can they throw the ball down the field? I don't know if they can.
Yeah, and the defense has looked okay so far, but it's actually a very young defense still, Illinois, and they're definitely taking a step up in class here after, you know, playing two mediocre opponents, Ball State and Western Kentucky, the first 2 weeks. So I'm not necessarily sold on that defense. We'll definitely see if they're for real tonight.
Yeah, I think the total is a little bit low. Weather's not going to be a factor this evening. Total is 55.5. I do like the over. UMass and Temple, won't spend too much time on this game. This is ugly. Be a good basketball game, but it's a bad football game.
Yeah, and Temple, you know, has actually gotten better the last few years in college football after being a bottom feeder for several decades. But they really are expected to regress this season. Got blown out by Notre Dame the first week. They only beat Villanova 16-13 last week. Villanova's a decent FCS team, obviously, but they were still a 17-point favorite at home. They only put up 16 total points. As you know, Gabe, it's always a red flag for me when a team doesn't even score the point spread. And I think that shows how Temple's offense is struggling. With that said, though, UMass is now 0-3 straight up in ATS. They only put up 7 points against Old Dominion. Old Dominion has gotten better defensively, but they've still been one of the weakest defenses the last few years, and they only put up 7 at home.
Yeah, UMass are terrible, man, but I don't know. Like, you can't lay 15 points. Temple have a hard time scoring 15 points right now. Huge regression. I didn't think Temple would regress this much, but they did lose their coach, their quarterback, and their best player to the NFL, and Hassan Reddick. Arizona, minus 23 against UTEP. Another ugly game. And initially, I'm like, man, I got to take the miners here. Let's go mining with an underdog here. But dear God, UTEP are as bad as UMass. Like, UTEP really are like real bottom feeders for real now, Steve. I don't know where they are in your power rankings. And I don't know, it's 130 teams now. Like, they got to be in the 120s, don't they? They're that bad.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the worst teams in college football. And Arizona put up 62 points against Northern Arizona as a 24-point home favorite. Now they're a 23-point road favorite. So Northern Arizona is actually better than UTEP, and they put up 62 in that game. You look at UTEP, they gave up 56 to Oklahoma, gave up 31 to Rice, despite being a 1-point home favorite last week.
Yeah, they lost
Rice. That tells you all you need to know about these two teams.
Yeah, like, it's a problem. I think Arizona, I'm not in a hurry to lay 23, and it could be the backup quarterback for Zona, too. But I'm not in a hurry to be laying 23 here, but I do think we can get to 58.5 because I think Arizona will put up 45-50. UTEP just got to give us a couple of scores.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if UTEP gets to 17 or so, this game goes over the total. And I think if you like Arizona, it's hard not to like the over 58 because to take a 24-point favorite, 23.5-point favorite, you pretty much need a high-scoring game.
Yeah, ugly board tonight. But there's three games, and like I said off the top of the program, can't be any uglier than the NFL games, right? So we can say, oh, man, bad college game. Yeah, bad NFL game. So I don't know. I know you do your weekly hit in Charlotte. I don't know if you've done it yet today. Bills and Panthers on the board.
Yep.
Your boy Sean McDermott, interesting. Obviously, he has the inside knowledge here, being the longtime coordinator there, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills, is a longtime assistant general manager of the Carolina Panthers. And Bean, there's a lot of inside knowledge that the Buffalo Bills have about the Carolina Panthers going into this football game. That being stated, Rivera knows McDermott's tendencies as well. So it's intriguing storyline here. Buffalo really rated Carolina. It's not just those two. You go down the list. There's a lot of personnel assistants. Mike Tolbert. There's like seven guys with Carolina ties on the Bills right now. But if the Bills fall behind, I don't know if Tyrod Taylor can the Bills backdoor this if they have to. That's the key. But I think defensively they can hang around in this game in a low-scoring game.
Yeah, actually, I'm doing the Charlotte hit hour earlier this year, so it's at 1:15 Eastern. So I do it before the show. I used to do it right after the show last year. And it's Kyle Bailey and Frank Garcia is the other host, and he was a former Carolina Panthers center. He actually played for him. And we did talk about this game about an hour ago, and it was interesting getting their feedback as well. I think it's a definite edge for Buffalo and McDermott. They countered, of course, that Rivera, as you said, he knows McDermott well. But my point was that McDermott's always been a defensive coach. He was a defensive coach with the Eagles. He was the coordinator with Carolina recently. He's never been a head coach, so I don't think you can pick up as many tendencies for him as you would have on Rivera. And then the bigger factor for me is that McDermott knows a lot of the Carolina players and knows their weaknesses and knows how to game plan to maybe attack those weaknesses. I don't think the Panthers have that edge in any of the Buffalo players. So I think this is a unique matchup edge here for Buffalo. And, you know, these two teams played probably the worst two teams in the league last week, in the Jets and the 49ers, so we can't really take much out of either win. This will be the first test this week, and with that uncertainty, I think getting a full 7 with the dog is tempting. It might even hit 7.5. You know, there's some spots that look like they might go to 7.5 by Sunday.
The Washington Redskins, strange game last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. It was closer than the final score would indicate. The Eagles got off to a 2-touchdown lead. They missed an extra point, so it was 13-0. And then, boom, the Redskins scored a couple of quick touchdowns, took the lead. It was a close game the entire game. The wheels fell off for the Redskins with like 3-4 minutes left, and the Eagles scored late. The Rams put up 46 last week. Now suddenly everybody loves the Rams this week. You know, there's 2.5, but I'm also seeing 3s out there right now. This is amazing. I was talking, with numbers guys, Ed Fang, big numbers guy. And, he was just talking about how, 2 weeks ago he had the Redskins as 2-point favorites in this game. So it's basically a 5-point swing in his mind.
Exactly right. In fact, one sports book last Sunday around 7 o'clock Eastern opened the Redskins -1.5. And then two or three of the other major books come out about 45 minutes later, about 7:45, 8 o'clock. They all had the Rams as about a 2.5-point favorite. So there was one book that really the original opening number, if you will, was Redskins' favorite, even last Sunday night after the games had been played. So it shows what a difference this line is. As we've always said, week one is kind of the preseason still. You have to be very careful not to overreact to those results. And I really do feel like this is that contrary in play of the week here. The Redskins were considered to be the better team coming into the season, and I'm not going to have all of a sudden change those ratings just because of the first week. The Rams' offense looked vastly improved last week. We'll see if that continues or not. And I do think the Redskins are better than they should in that loss against the Eagles.
Well, Steve, there are 4 words that I never thought I'd be saying on a national television show. Tales of the Turtles. Tales of the Turtles. NASCAR playoff chase begins. Chicagoland. And the race is called the Tales of the Turtles 400. Is there a new Ninja Mutant movie out or something? What's this mean, Tales of the Turtles?
That's my guess as well, but I'd have to check.
I don't know. Camera 2 Drew should know something like this. Is there a new Mutant movie coming out, Drew?
No.
He says no. Strange. For the record, I approve of the Ninja Mutant guys. They're good guys. All right, so Martin Truex, he's a good guy too. You've been talking about this. Truex has that advantage, got a 20-point lead coming in here because of all the stage wins that he's racked up. So Truex is he's favored to win the championship right now. He's +350, similar odds to win this race, +333.
Yeah, I mean, let's just explain that the format's a little different this year because you get these bonus points coming in so that everybody doesn't reset basically equal now. So Truex has a substantial lead off the bottom four, and in fact the bottom eight or so are all within a point of each other, and four of them will get cut. So Truex and Kyle Busch and even Kyle Larson really pretty much have an easy buy almost to the next round after four are cut here in these three races. And Truex almost has an easy buy all the way to the finals to Homestead. So it really comes down to just handicapping that final race for him. Not sure there's much value at +3-1 because you're going to get him higher than that probably to win the Miami race. And the champion has actually won the Miami race almost every year they've had this format. So you basically have to win that final race. I think for some long shots as far as the chase goes, I'm not backing Ricky Stenhouse, but I want to mention him real quick so I don't forget. Talladega's on the card here in the Chase format. Stenhouse has two restrictor play wins at the three races this year. So, you know, if you want to maybe take an opportunity to hedge like a 100-to-1 long shot, that might be an interesting thing to do. This week, I don't expect much from Stenhouse. So this is a cookie-cutter track. Truex, Kyle Busch, and Kyle Larson have dominated those all season, and that's why they're top three in the points right now.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because the guys that are in the chase, they don't necessarily need to win. They need to do better than the other guys in the chase. So it brings an interesting dynamic here. How about a long shot in the race at Ryan Blaney at 25-to-1? Finished fourth here before after starting 22nd, and he finished second here once in the Xfinity Series. So a little bit of success on this track at 25-to-1.
Yeah, and I like Blaney because he's actually been very good on these cookie cutters this year, and he's gotten better as the season goes on. He's a young racer. It's a young team. You know, the Wood Brothers is an old team, but they're young and having success again in recent years, and they got a win this year finally. It's been a while for the 21 team. And he's been very good on these intermediate tracks. He's been as fast as anyone. Another guy that's very fast on these tracks as well that hasn't gotten a win but made the chase is Chase Elliott. Wouldn't be shocked to see him get a chase win here in advance. I think that's another guy, if you're looking to hedge one of the longer odds for the championship, maybe him or Stenhouse, just because I think they have a chance of winning here in one of the next few races and advancing, and then he could start to hedge, you know, once we get in the later rounds.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. Check him out over at covers.com as well. He's one of the covers experts. He'll have you covered college football, NFL football all weekend long. Steve, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. Paul Povey checks in from Vegas coming up next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Steve Merrill for joining us on the program. Busy weekend this weekend. Major League Baseball, the pennant chases are in full swing. Huge boxing match in Las Vegas, Nevada this weekend. We've got a UFC card in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. College football, NFL football, CFL football, and the NASCAR playoffs begin in Chicago. But let's send it to Las Vegas, Nevada right now. Normally, Paul lives in Los Angeles, but because it's so cool, he's in Vegas right now, I believe. Paul Povey steps up. And what's going on, Paul?
Hey, Gabe. How you doing, buddy?
Good,
great to see you.
Good stuff. So what's the deal? You're in Vegas right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Vegas. I'm going to try to beg and borrow a steal for a ticket tomorrow night. We'll see what happens. But if not, I'll take in some great football.
All right, so let me guess. It's hard to tell with the room. I'm looking at the decor. I'm going to take a shot of where you're at right now. Caesar's Palace.
The Wild West, 1999, with a buffet. Couldn't resist it.
It looks pretty nice at the Wild West.
Yeah, it's not bad. Actually, I'm midpoint between Caesars and the Wild West. I like the Hampton Inn. I get the air conditioning down to like 55 degrees in the room, so I'm good.
Especially it's fight week, too. I mentioned the rooms are a little bit pricier because of the big fight. Hey, I stayed at Palace Station a couple of weeks ago. I'm all about the local spots.
Yeah, that's scraping the bottom of the barrel of Palace Station. God, I haven't been there for years. Is that still there, Gabe?
Yeah, they renovated. It's not too bad now, actually. It's not that bad. The Strat's worse than Palace Station. But anyways, so week two NFL, week three college football. You're in Vegas, opportunity to lay it down. College football tonight, before we get in the NFL, you taking a look at any of these three games tonight?
Gabe, I like this USF game under Illinois. You got a defensive-minded coach. And, you know, USF played Stony Brook last week. They could barely run the ball. I think they had 153 yards on, like, 49 carries. Flowers hasn't been great this year. And even in the opener, they beat up on San Jose State, who they trailed 16-0, scored 42 points. But San Jose State, hey, the Spartans, Texas laid 56-0 on them the following week, over 400 yards on the ground. So, big deal. And Illinois, their quarterback, very, very mediocre. Throws for about 150 a game, maybe. This is a low-scoring game. 56 is an inflated number. This should end, I'll call it 2017.
You know, Illinois's getting a lot of points here. I think they can hang around, but like you said, that offense is pretty inept. The Illinois, the alumni, are all about defense. Lovie Smith, all about the D. Interesting, he goes back, coached in Tampa there. That's where they're playing, at Raymond James Stadium.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that angle, Gabe, but you're right. Lovie Smith, he's a defensive-minded guy, and Illinois, they beat Ball State the first week.
Western Kentucky, second week, yeah.
Yeah, and they barely ran the ball against Ball State, and the following week, UAB ran for over 300 yards against Ball State. So what does that say about Illinois' offense? You get two teams here that really don't move the ball all that well.
All right, so let's jump into the National Football League. The Minnesota Vikings moved the ball well against the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football, short week. Now they go into Pittsburgh. Steelers laying 5.5 points in this football game. Steelers couldn't get the ground game going last week, but I sort of look at that game like an extension of the preseason. You know, Ben Roethlisberger was 20-2, now 21-2 straight up against the Browns. Where was the focus and the motivation going in there? It was more of a walkthrough for them, and they got backdoored. But Minnesota here, Minnesota on paper to me, they match up real well. Minnesota's got an elite defense. I don't care if it's at home or on the road. And Mike Zimmer's just an ATM machine, man. 25-7 against the spread now against non-division opponents.
I don't know if that was a backdoor game. The Browns gave more they can handle. The only problem with what Cleveland did is that Antonio Brown hauled in 11 passes on 11 attempts. Now, at some point, you got to say, I'm not going to let this guy beat me anymore. What do? After the fifth, sixth pass, it's like that movie Casino. The slot machine hits after the second time, and you got to shut it down. And they didn't shut it down. It was ridiculous. 11 balls, 11 catches, that's not good. I think that Pittsburgh, well, Minnesota looked real sharp, and you're right about Zimmer. And I have to tell you, I was wrong about the Vikings last week. They looked horrible defensively in the preseason, but they really turned it up against the Saints. They looked very sharp. And the question here is Sam Bradford, because he is on the iffy side, and I got to have Bradford in the game to take the points here. But if he is, I think they cover.
Patriots and Saints, 6.5 right now. The total keeps climbing, Paul, up to 56.5. And I'm going to give you accolades, buddy. I didn't forget about your pick last week, but we're going to get to that game in a moment. Patriots and Saints, Pats have extended break. They've had a long time to stew coming off that loss. And I'm just looking at the numbers here cosmetically. Belichick, 18-2. Last 20 times he's lost a football game, he's 18-2 straight up the following time. 17-3 against the spread in that domain. And, oh, yeah, he gave up more points than he's ever given up in his coaching career with the 41 that the Chiefs put up. What do you make of this football game? Is the spread too high right now, and is the total too high?
This total is outlandish, Gabe. Danny Amendola is not going to play. He did not practice today. And if you don't practice on Friday for Bill Belichick, you're not going to play. And their defense, offense went into a funk last week when he came out of the game. He had 7 catches for 100 yards, and then they really couldn't do anything. So how do you lay these kinds of points on the road? Oh, yeah, it's Bill Belichick, but then you got the total at 56.5. Boy, that's a frothy number, Gabe. And laying 6.5 on the road, I just can't do it with New England. I think there are better games on the board.
Yeah, and you know what? I know this sounds crazy, but I wonder about the Saints' offense a little bit. They got shut down by the Vikings. Michael Thomas was great last year. Michael Thomas was great last year because he had the best DB on the other team all over Brandon Cooks all the time. And now he's the guy. I noticed they had double teams on him. He was getting frustrated a little bit. He's not used to this. He's a young kid. He's only in the second year of the National Football League, and he's a number one wide receiver already on this team. Not to mention, he doesn't have Willie Snead to take some of the heat off right now. Snead's really gotten better over the last couple of years. I think people sort of, pardon the pun, sneezed in Willie Snead's suspension. Oh, well, the Saints don't need it or whatever. I don't know. I think they do a little bit. You know, that it was a little bit pedestrian. Are they going to open it up? Like I said, you better know over 56 and a half. You need a clean ride from start to finish, pretty much, Paul.
You need a clean ride, Gabe, and everything you said makes a lot of sense. And look, I was on the Saints on Monday. I'm not proud to say it, but I hit both my games Sunday, lost on Monday, and they were stifled for the entire game. I mean, let's face it, they got that last touchdown, made it respectable, but for the most part, they were just snuffed out, and Belichick is a defensive coach. So how do you play this number at 56 and a half? It's a very ambitious play to the high side, in my opinion.
Well, speaking of the high side, last week, your top pick when you joined us on Morenci Unfiltered were the LA Rams and the Indianapolis Colts to go over the number. And the LA Rams took care of the total single on their own. It was a low number in a 41 range. Great call by you, Paul. But I ask you now, so the total is 46, ironically, the same amount of points that the Rams put up on the board last week. Back-to-back home games in Los Angeles. Is this an overreaction, though, with the point spread? And what do you make of the total of this one? You know, are the Rams a high, you know, high-powered offense now, or is it an anomaly last week against the Colts?
I don't know, but did you see that stadium on Sunday, Gabe? I mean, it looked like Cal Pomona playing whoever. There was nobody in there.
You're right. I've seen it. You're right. I lived in L.A. I've seen it fuller for high school games.
I mean, they'll sell some tickets this week because I think everybody – it doesn't take long to jump on the bandwagon. And you know these warm weather cities, if you start losing, you're going to lose them real quick. They'll be at the beach. They'll be down body surfing, whatever, but they're not going to be at the football game. But they'll get some people in there this week. And one thing I said about the Rams when we were speaking last week, they added Whitworth to the offensive line. They retooled it. Cooper Kupp is a dynamic receiver out of Eastern Washington, and he hauled in four passes. And then you got Watkins and Woods. So all of a sudden they got an offense, and they've got a line to protect Goff, and they've got a great coach in McVay. He's motivating him. So I think the Rams are going to be real tough this week. Will it go over? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. On Sunday, I was a little nervous, Gabe. It was 37-3, and I thought the Rams were going to completely shut it down. And thankfully, I brought the backup quarterback in. He completed a long pass for the Colts. Colts go in. Get the over there, or else I think I was in a lot of trouble.
The other high total, we talk about the Patriots and the Saints. And it's funny, the Pats and the Saints game, I was on live doing a podcast Monday night when the Vikings game. So, you know, there was no line because the Vikings were playing, you know, for the games. And so we were waiting, you know, we were waiting anxiously to see what the Saints total would be with the Patriots. So as soon as the game was over, boom. Vikings Saints game over. All right, they posted numbers for the Saints in the Vikings game, and they put out 53 and a half. So it went from 53 and a half up to the 56 and a half right now. They also put out an identical 53 and a half for the Sunday nighter NFC Conference Championship rematch between the Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons. Opened up at 53 and a half. It's only been bet up a little bit, so the bettors aren't running to the window and hammering that over like they did the Pat Saints over.
Gabe, a lot of these totals are based, I think, on pedigree. And when you look at the Saints, their pedigree is that of a high-scoring team. Same thing with New England. And you know what? You look at the pedigree of Atlanta and Green Bay, well, maybe not as high scoring. Certainly Green Bay is, but maybe the public was a little misled on Sunday, because one thing I did say about that game is that it would probably go under with Seattle, because Seattle's offensive line, Pete Carroll, didn't do anything to improve it, and it showed up on Sunday. So the fact that this is set at 53 and a half and was bet up to 54 and a half means that sharp bettors who may have pushed that number up are not fooled by the fact that Green Bay's defense may look better than it is off that inaugural win over Seattle, where the Seahawks could do very little. And as far as Atlanta goes, look, they don't have a great offense. I mean, a great defense. The Bears have nothing offensively. Tariq Cohen was their main guy on Sunday, and he's a running back. He was a leading receiver, leading rusher. The quarterback is certainly iffy. So all of a sudden, they're going to take a step up in terms of their opposition.
Yeah, all good points that you raise. There's a lot of unknowns about this. Like you said, I do think the Green Bay Packers are going to be a better football team defensively this year, and they were last week. Yet I don't know what to make of Seattle. And Seattle, you know, we've seen for a couple of years now, Seattle have a real problem on the road. That offense just can't get anything going on the road. You mentioned the offensive line issues, but the fact of the matter is, this is the third time that these teams are playing in the last, like, 13 months type of deal, whatever it is. They played twice last year. They played in a regular season last year. They played in the playoffs last year. And now they're playing again. And ironically enough, Paul, both times that they played last year, two completely different style of games, both landed on the same number of 65 points. You know, it was 33-32, and then it was 44-21 in the playoff game. So I think you can, you know, my eyeball and the logic and, you know, Shanahan's gone. Record-setting year last year for Atlanta's offense. They have to regress a little bit. Sarkisian's in there right now. But it's hard for me to overlook that, you know, this is 11 points lower than the last two times that they played each other.
The best indicator of the future is the past. And I think you're onto something there, because if I were playing this game, and I just might, I would play it to the high side, and I would play the other one to the low side. These teams lit it up last year. I don't see much changing. Teams haven't changed all that much.
We got to get out of here in a second, Paul. Who do you like to win the game? I think the Falcons beat them again. It's their first game in this stadium, though. Is that a distraction? I don't know. I'm leaning with the Falcons here again, though.
I'm leaning with the Falcons. I think they have a solid team, and they beat them last year, and there's no reason why they shouldn't beat them this year.
Paul Bovey, check him out over at VegasInsider.com. He'll be in Las Vegas over the weekend, and we'll catch up with Paul Bovey right here on the Fantasy Sports Television Network next week. Always a pleasure, Paul.
Thanks, Gabe.
Chris Meaney joins me in studio next. We'll talk some fantasy football.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Chris Meaney into the studio to talk some DFS fantasy football and some NFL football. Let's get right down to business. I imagine when it comes to DFS, basically 75 to 90% of the contests are going to be decided between the Atlanta Falcons, Green Bay Packers game,
yeah,
and the New Orleans Saints and the New England Patriots game. It's pretty much pick your weapon, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's almost like, all right, guys, and you have good choices. You want Aaron Rodgers? Take Rodgers. You want Ryan? Take Ryan. You want Breeze? You get Breeze. You want Tom Brady? You get Tom Brady. And a lot of people might say, wow, they're all expensive. Yet it could be dangerous if you don't have those guys and they go off.
Yeah, and you know what? When doing some of my writing on Roto Experts, I'm saying, listen, this is probably the week where you have to pay up for these top four quarterbacks. But if you look at just 14 of the 16 millionaire makers last season, the first 16 anyways, the quarterback percentage, whoever owned them, it was less than 10%, and which is very interesting. Twice it was Kirk Cousins, and he was just over that 10% mark. But you're looking at those four quarterbacks, and they are the four best quarterbacks in the NFL, and they have the four best matchups. I mean, they have the highest point totals, as you talked about.
Yeah,
they fall right in. For me, I'm down on Brady. I don't want to spend that much. I feel like I understand with the Saints. I mean, the Saints just give up so much.
Okay, so let me ask you. So Sam Bradford just went 27 to 32 for 340. 43 yards and three touchdowns. What's Tom what?
I know.
Is it Tom
I know.
Brady like?
No, I know
shouldn't
that.
Shouldn't Tom Brady like do the same? Like if 30, he, if let's he, say 33 to 45 for four touchdowns.
If he wanted to, he could throw six or seven probably for 800 yards. I mean, if you look at receptions, so the Saints gave up 18 receptions to the Vikings, which was the second most last week, and the 278 receiving yards was the most. Nobody's given up more yards or points than the Saints over the past 3 years. They're brutal. I mean, the defense in the secondary looked young and inexperienced.
They were supposed to be better,
yes. But with no Amendola, you're not expected to play in this game. And just the fact that if they do get down there and they can just give it to Gillislee, and you saw it happen three times, that's the one thing I'm worried about.
He's
where
a poacher.
I think that,
arrest him.
Yeah, I think where that game could maybe even go under the number were the Atlanta and the Green Bay game. And if you look at just NFC Championship game 3 games ago, where Matt Ryan had 5 total touchdowns, ran one in himself, threw for almost 400 yards, and Rodgers 300 yards, 3 touchdowns himself. That's the game that I feel like I'm going to attack the most.
Okay, what about Brandon Cooks? Only 3 catches last week, 88 yards.
Yeah.
I think he was interfered with maybe 3 times,
yes.
At least twice.
Yeah, twice for
like,
sure, yeah.
Like a lot of people are like, oh, no. It's like, guys, did you watch the game? They mugged him. He was wide. Yeah. Once they tackled him when the ball was in the air,
yes.
Like he was getting open. He was getting open. And the Chiefs secondary is better than the Saints secondary. Not to mention Cooks is like AP. He doesn't like Sean Payton.
he hates him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You give me zero targets?
Oh, he's like, yeah. You guys, you wanted Michael Thomas?
You want
to push me out? And plus, now you got Amendola. It's perfect for Belichick, and Belichick likes to get his guys going like this. Cooks is scoring a touchdown. He might score 2 touchdowns. I never do this, guys. Never do it. And you know my feelings about the Patriots. I'm stacking them. That's that's what I'm picking. I'm stacking Brady and Cooks.
Cooks is going to be...
And I can live with a Brady-Gronk stack, too.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody's going to be able to stop Gronk. And you mentioned Barry stopping Gronk last week. Gronk and Cooks are solid plays. Cooks especially, he'll be in all my lineups. I just gave all those stats about the receptions and the receiving yards allowed. And for Cooks, say what you want, and you can make fun of revenge games all you want, but you know Cooks wants his, and Brady's going to get him his. He really is. In this game, they're going to try to find a connection. And you said, I mean, the 7 targets and only hooking up 3 times and still racking up 88 receiving yards in just 3 times, his ceiling is extremely high. So Cooks, even though he's going to be a chalky play, don't worry about that. Play him. You don't have to have all chalk. You can have 1 or 2 chalk players that work out. Look, Zach Ertz last week was 41% owned in the Millionaire Maker. We were all over that, and he had a good day. It's okay to have 1 or 2 of these guys.
Time flies by, unfortunately. We already only have like 2.5-3 minutes. Yeah, no, I've got some chalk guys, but I'm rolling the dice. Jaquizz Rodgers is one of the guys I'm rolling the dice with.
Yeah, and I looked at Rodgers, too, and he's one of the guys that I want to roll the dice with, too. 5 games he was involved in that offense. He averaged 21 carries and 72 yards. There was 2 games where he had 56 carries and 255 rushing yards and 6 catches. So at his price point, why not?
Yeah, I'm squeezing him in there. I like my lineup this week. I'm going to Leonard Fournette. All right, let me ask you that.
Yeah.
A couple of guys you like that we didn't bring up. A couple of guys you don't like that you're a little bit scared of this week.
I'm scared of Kareem Hunt just because everyone is extremely on him. And the Eagles' defense is not fantastic, but they do a good job against the run. And I already talked about my concerns with Tom Brady. So there's 2 guys I'll throw out that I like. And one is Ty Montgomery, 74 snaps last week. He played. Pro Football Focus graded him as the #1 pass-blocking running back. That's huge for his playing time. Nobody played more snaps than him in the running backs. And if you look at the Atlanta Falcons, they've given up 26 catches to running backs over the last 2 games. They've given up 109. That's what they gave up last year was the most. So I think Ty Montgomery is going to exploit that defense a little bit. And then finally, before we get out of here, Alvin Kamara, who had more snaps, more touches, more targets than AP and Mark Ingram.
Yep.
Remember Sean Payton drafted him. They moved up to draft him. No Willie Snead, all the attention you just talked about on Michael Thomas. I look at Darren Sproles with his first couple of years with Payton. He had 215 targets, 161 catches, 1,400 yards, and 14 receiving touchdowns, not to mention 800 yards on the ground. I think Kamara is going to be a big part of this offense. It's a high total. They're going to have to try to get back in the game. He's like $3,400 on DK.
All right, we've only got 1 minute, so I want to get a quick take on the teams that didn't play yet. The Buccaneers and the Dolphins didn't play. I've noticed a hesitation with fantasy guys this week to recommend them. Oh, we haven't seen them. Well, we didn't
because
see
of all the
week.
Rust. Because of all the. Yeah. By the way, the Bengals just fired their offensive coordinator. Speaking of rust.
Well, they should fire their cornerback and coach. Fire the cheerleaders. Fire everybody. With that being stated, I'm taking a shot with Devontae Parker.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Dolphins could be playing from behind in this football game. Cutler's going to throw deep. I think Parker really steps up and has a decent year. He's in my lineup. But for betting purposes, who do you like this week? Who are you betting on?
It's kind of the big dogs here. I like the Ravens. I know it's an 8-point spread, but I don't believe at all in Cleveland. They're going to be top 10 against the run and the pass. I like the under in that Patriots game. I like the over in the Green Bay one. And I like Oakland. They're going to win by 13. They're just going to steamroll the Jets.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are, oh, you can't lay double digits in the NFL. You can against the New York Jets this year.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I think you're just leaving money on the table. If you don't, Meany's got all his fantasy rankings. Check him out. Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, Fantasy Sports Network Radio. All that and more. We come back with our plays of the day and our DraftKings lineup of the week.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, it's time for our DraftKings lineup of the week. Last week, we got paid back $40 for our lineup. I would have preferred it was $400 or $4,000, but nevertheless, we promised to make you money, and when it's all said and done, we'll tally the total at the end of the year like we did last year. We made you about $1,900 last year playing the Millionaire Maker lineup on a weekly basis. So with the $20 we made you last week, you got yourself a free roll. Let's start off here. I don't know if I've ever taken Tom Brady before on this program, and I don't know if I've ever taken the most expensive quarterback on the board, but I do know that Tom Brady is in a bad mood, and Bill Belichick and the Patriots usually kick the crap out of teams after they lose a game. You have an extended week. All this talk about the Saints defense being better, yeah, whatever. Bradford was 27 to 32 for 346 yards and 3 touchdowns. No reason Tom Brady doesn't do the same here. I like Leonard Fournette a lot. My only concern with Leonard Fournette over the duration is his health. But as long as this kid's healthy, the dude's a monster. 26 carries, 100 yards last week, a touchdown. I tell you what, man. Doug Marone wants to run the football. He's not going to get into a track meet with the Tennessee Titans with Blake Bortles against Mariota. Don't be surprised if Leonard Fournette has 27 or 28 touches in this football game. I think he's in a good spot here. Jaquizz Rodgers also in a good spot. Doug Martin is out. Bears only gave up 64 yards on the ground last week, so I think that's going to scare people away a little bit from Rodgers and the fact that they haven't seen him play yet. When he gets his touches, he's a productive player. There's no one really else back there in the backfield with Martin suspended. I'm going to stack Brady with Cooks. Rolling the dice here, but 3 catches last week, 88 yards. The guy was pass interfered with at least 2 times, if not more. He was open all day. Speaking of getting open, I think that Tyreek Hill is going to cause the Philadelphia Eagles nightmares, all right? They're without Ronald Darby. Mills is back into the starter position. I don't know if this guy's a legitimate number one wide receiver. I don't care. I know he's a freak, all right? The guy's a freak. Tyreek the Freak, that should be his nickname. The guy's just so freaking fast. He's going to make plays. I think there's going to be points scored in this football game. I like Tyreek Hill a lot there. Devontae Parker, rolling the dice. Last year, I drafted this guy, and I was a little bit disappointed in the season long, but year 3 is offering a breakout. I think he's going to break out. Tannehill couldn't throw the ball down the field. Cutler can throw the ball down the field. Cutler loves this kid, and I think this is going to be a higher scoring game against the Chargers, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Dolphins are playing from behind, and they're airing it out a little bit in this game. Charles Clay, speaking of playing from behind, the Buffalo Bills don't have a lot of people to throw the football to, all right? Zay Jones, still a rookie, not an impact player yet. Jordan Matthews, sort of an okay guy, just learning the offense right now. Charles Clay knows the offense, is a big part of it, and has a good chemistry with Tyrod Taylor. We saw the 9 targets and a touchdown last week. I think that Charles Clay at $3,000 is worth a look. Devontae Adams, my flex, $5,600, more than a fair price for Adams. In a game, it's going to be a track meet against the Falcons. He tortured for 12 catches on 14 targets in a regular season game last year. In a playoff game, he didn't put up the same numbers, but you remember his ankle was falling off. And finally, in closing, my defense will be the Dallas Cowboys. I think they can shut down this Denver Bronco offense. They could get an interception. Simeon got sacked 4 times versus the Chargers. Cowboys had 3 sacks versus the New York Giants. We're going to win some money for you. Let's get to our plays of the day. We're going to start off in a Big Ten. You know, we're getting Illinois with points. Give me the 17 points. I think this game can squeeze over the number, but it's not my lock of the year or anything like that. Arizona and UTEP. No reason this game doesn't get into the 70s. Arizona should be able to hang a 50-plus up on the board on them. Don't look now, but the Hamilton Tiger Cats, they're scratching and clawing their way back into the playoff hunt right now in the Canadian Football League. Give me the Tiger Cats plus the 4 points in this football game. And I think the total is a little bit low here at 51.5. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.